I feel a little bit like Moses today, not only because I've been here a long time, but because Moses had the job. If you get your offering, go ahead and do it. Do not bother. If Moses had the job of when he was dealing with the Israelites, that first time they had never been a part of, you know, there hadn't been any sacrifices. There hadn't been any of that kind of stuff. The law had not been given. I mean, you name on and on. They weren't aware of all this stuff that they were about to get into, that they were going to do sacrifices and lambs and sheep and goats and the shedding of blood and all that stuff. They were just common people. And you can imagine that first day when Moses approaches them, he's come from the wilderness and he's going to deliver them. And now they're dealing with the Egyptians, and they've been under bondage for 400 years. And Moses now is about to stand and tell them how they're going to be delivered. And he tells them about taking a lamb without spot or blemish, sacrificing it, and taking the blood and putting it on the doorpost of their house. Now, I don't know about you, because we think, you know, because we've been in it a while, some of us in Christianity, but like them, they had never really been in it a whole lot. And for them, it was kind of like, what? Oh, what are you talking about? Blood of an ant? Blood? I remember I watched not long ago, it was a video of a man that had been burned over 80% of his body. And do you know what they did to him? They poured a thing of leeches all over him. And that didn't make lunch feel taste real good coming up. And the reason they did it was because the leeches then ate the dead skin. And then, you know, leeches began to suck blood. And the blood, as the blood was drawn up, it would produce new skin. And how many of you just go ahead and die? I think I just go ahead and die. And, you know, I think that's where fear factor came from or something like that. Just kind of bad. So, but when you talk about some things, it's like, no matter how absurd or how, you know, crazy it sounds, I feel like my job today, because here was Moses standing there and telling them that the power of the blood of the Lamb was going to be stronger than a death angel that was going to pass over the land of Egypt and the land of Goshen, where the Israelites were. And that power of that blood on their door would keep them from experiencing the death of the firstborn in their family, in their children, in their cattle and all. And Moses had to explain that to them, that it would bring that power, that blood would bring deliverance. And I can imagine them trying to get it through their brains and them thinking, what blood, what blood? They weren't into that. They had never been into that at that stage. And then later on, when they brought the law and all that, then they began to walk in it. But this morning, that's what I want to do. I want to show you the power of the blood of the Lamb of God and what it does in your life. And it will do what nothing else can do. You can try and try and try and use all kinds of things, from philosophy to psychiatrists to different techniques to deal with situations in your life. And I'm going to tell you, this one, but because there's nothing can do in you what the blood of Jesus can do in your life, not only for eternity, but for right now in this life and how you live life. How do you manage life? How do you deal with the stuff that you've done? How do you deal with the mistakes you've made? How do you deal with the sins you've made? How do you deal with all those stains in your life from past experiences you've done? How do you deal with that? How do you deal with a guilty conscience? Brother Eccles used to tell me that it was easier to sleep with a wet dog than a guilty conscience. Come on, somebody. And there is times when, how do you deal with your conscience? How do you deal with the future? How do you know what tomorrow is really going to bring? How do you know that when you do take your last breath, you will go to heaven? How do you know that? How do you deal with all that? And all of this has to do with the power of the blood. And look at this. I want to talk to you because it says, then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood. Now watch this. The voice of your brother's blood. The voice of your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. What's it crying out? It's crying out, God, I've been murdered. Vengeance, do something, Lord. I've been unjustly treated. I've been killed by my brother. And the Bible says when those drops of blood hit the ground, God said, because the Bible says life is in the blood, that that blood had a voice. And when God came down, God could hear. It's like dogs that can hear a whistle we can't hear. God came down. He heard the voice of his brother's blood crying from the ground. What is it? I heard the voice. God came down. I heard the voice of the blood of your brother's blood crying to me from the ground. Had to be a concept Cain wasn't even thinking about. I heard the voice of your brother's Abel's blood crying to me from the ground. So look at this. When you go to Hebrews, watch this. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that... Everybody say the next word. Everybody say it again. Speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. When God came on the scene in Genesis, he said, I heard the voice of Abel's blood speaking to me from the ground. But the writer of Hebrews says, not only did the blood of Abel speak, but when Jesus hung on that cross and that blood spilt down to the ground, it says that blood had a voice and it was speaking. And that it says it spoke a better word than the blood of Abel. What did it speak? Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Lord, cleanse them. Lord, redeem them. Lord, forgive them. And so today I want to do this to you. Everybody stand up, would you? Everybody stand up. I know you're all seated and comfortable and all that stuff, but I got to stand the whole day anyway myself. So, well, I do have a seat now. I want to talk to you about listening to the blood. Everybody say, listening to the blood. My job this morning would be like Moses. I'm going to try to convince you of the power of the blood of Jesus and to use it for every part of your life and to listen to it instead of philosophies of this world. Let's pray. Father, we pray this morning for ears to hear what the blood says. I pray, Lord, beyond every other voice in this time and space, every other voice will be servant, Lord, to the voice of the blood of the Lord Jesus. I pray that every philosophy would bow the knee to the blood of the Lord Jesus. I pray every idea of man would be subservient to the blood, to the voice of the blood of Jesus. I pray every concept, every argument, every reasoning would bow the knee this morning to the voice of the blood of the Lord Jesus. We believe, Lord, the truth, and the truth will set us free. We love you. We glorify you in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. Amen. You can be seated today. The Bible says that literally that the voice, that blood has a voice. And I believe with all my heart that one of the things that we need more than anything in life is to realize and to grasp the voice of the blood of Christ. When you begin to understand that it speaks, there's things to say, you know, because there are other voices speaking into our lives. Revelation chapter 12 says this. Look at this. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God, the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser, everybody say accuser. The accuser of the brethren, of the brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them. Not just a little bit here and there, who accuses them day and night before the throne of God. Who accuses them, the accuser of her brother, who accuses them day and night before the throne of God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb. And the way you conquer accusations against your life is you conquer it by the blood of the Lamb of God. The way you conquer the voice of the accuser is you listen to the voice of the blood and what the voice of the blood says about you and what the voice of the blood says about a situation. There has to be a point where you literally begin to understand that there are lies being introduced to your life that are literally lies that may seem like truth, but they are lies. Because the voice that needs to be listened to is the voice of the blood of the Lamb of God. Look what Corinthians says. in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, that which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming darts. Flaming darts of the evil. That meant those thoughts that the devil throws into your brain. And literally, it's like fiery darts that literally hit you. And the Bible says, taking up the shield of faith. Not faith in faith, but faith in the blood of the Lamb of God. Faith in the voice that you choose in your own life, that you're going to listen to what the voice of the blood says, rather than what the voice of the enemy says. In all circumstances, doing it. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought. You know what you ought to do? You ought to make a decision when thoughts come in your brain. Make a decision whether they are true or whether they are false. And if they are false, you need just out loud say, that's a lie. When that thought comes in my brain and says, you're ugly, I say, that's a lie, I'm gorgeous. Come on, somebody. When the thought comes in your brain, you need to take that thing captive. And then you need to, instead of listening to that voice, you need to make a decision that you're going to listen to the voice of the blood of Jesus more than the voice of the arguments of reason and logic and philosophies of this world and reasonings. And all that stuff. You need to come to a place where you say, when it's a lie, you need to say it out loud. That's a lie. There's somebody about to come in here and break and kill me. That's a lie. Come on, somebody. You begin to take and you begin to understand that's a lie. It's not happening. Look what Jude 8 says. Verse 8. Yet in like manner, these people also relying on their dreams. You know anybody relies on their dreams? Defile the flesh, reject authority, blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment. He said, the Lord rebuke you. But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. And so what happens is this. You don't fight the devil in your own strength. You don't fight the devil by saying, you dirty, rotten, lying devil. You don't do that. You take the weapons of the warfare that God has given us, and you defeat the tactic and the darts and the thoughts. You defeat him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb. One of the things I want to do is Moses challenged the people that day. Listen, guys, you can get deliverance by the blood of a lamb, because it will be more powerful than any structure you could build, any armies you could get together, any weapons you could accumulate. The power of the blood, putting it on the doorpost of your house, it's symbolizing the blood of the living God. And there's nothing more powerful than God. God is stronger than anything he's ever created. And the power of Acts 19, Paul told that Ephesian group, he said, God who has purchased the church by his own blood. Can I tell you what the blood of Jesus is? It's not just some another man's blood. It is the blood of God himself. And he is more powerful than anything he ever created. And nothing will ever defeat the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, give him a good clap. It is the blood of the living God. So it's the most powerful thing in the universe. It's one of those things that God himself that we can use and apply to our lives and our children, all that we've got. And so that's why the Bible says when the accuser that's doing it night and day, that literally they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. So I want to talk to you about three things. And then we're going to take communion together. How do you deal with your past? How do you deal with the mistakes you've made? How do you deal with the errors and the sins and all the things you've done? How do you deal with it? Do you try to make up for it by doing better things, good works? How do you deal with the present? How do you deal with your conscience? How do you deal with it? How do you deal with your future? Can I tell you that all three of those things, your past, your present, and your future, you need to listen to the blood of Jesus. And you need to let every other voice be a liar. Every other voice be subservient to what the blood of Jesus says about your past, about your present, and about your future. I live my life that way. You know what I do? I've staked my life. Either I'm going to go for it or I'm not going to go for it. Either I'm going to believe it or I'm not going to believe it. Either I'm going to stake my life on the power of the blood, or I'm just going to try to do it by works. I'm just going to try to be good enough. I'm going to try to be just pleased. I'm going to try it by works. But I have made the decision. I'm going to base my entire eternity, my entire past, my entire present, my entire future on the power of the blood of the Lamb of God. As crazy as it may sound, as whoa, my life and beautiful and iPads and phones and gorgeous, I'm staking my entire life on listening to what the blood of God tells me. Now, let me tell you, listen. Number one, first one is my past. And what the blood of God tells me about my past is forgiven. As dirty as it was, as shameful as it was, as messed up as it was, as good as it was, my past is forgiven, not because God just one day said, I think I'll forgive you, or just one day I decided to be good, no longer bad. It's not why I'm forgiven. The only reason my past is forgiven is because of the blood of the Lamb of God. Listen to what the Bible says. Listen to this. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of trespasses. According to the riches of his grace, we have forgiveness of our trespasses. God has forgiven us. Listen, forgiveness removes in the mind of God my past forever. When God looked that day, I knelt in Oak Manor Motor Hotel over on Airline Highway. And I confessed my sins when I was 18 years old. Confessed my sins unto the Lord. The blood of Jesus in the mind of God wiped my yesterdays away. And he asked, listen, and I'll always tell you this. It just didn't that he brought my account to zero. That would have been good enough. That would have been fantastic. But the Bible says, he that knew no sin became sin, that we might become what? Not only did he wipe my done, he then put in my bank account all the riches and the righteousness of Christ Jesus, my Lord. And instead of just being at zero, I'm like the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm what Jesus was. His blood not only cleansed me, but it put me in right standing as if I'm righteous with God. So the blood, I'm listening. So when I'm told, you remember what you used to do? You remember what you did? I said, no, that's a lie. I'm listening to the blood of Jesus says forgiveness. It speaks a much better word than the blood of Abel. The voice I'm listening to says, you've been forgiven and now you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I listen to it. I stake my life, my eternity on it. Look at the next scripture. Hebrews 9. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all. Watch this. When Jesus died, 3 days his body lay in the tomb. And I won't go into where he was those 3 days. But when he rose from the dead, he did something. He went somewhere. The Bible says he went to heaven to appear before his Father. And he did not go empty-handed. He took something. The Bible says he entered once for all into the holy places, not by the means of the blood of goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For Christ has entered not only the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it he offered himself repeatedly as a high priest enters the holy places every year with the blood, not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he's appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He took his own blood into the portals of heaven. And that the tabernacle on earth was just a puny picture of what was taking place in the heavens. And Jesus, when he rose from the dead, took his blood before the God of the universe. And the Bible says the God of the universe accepted it for all mankind. Come on. Listen. Forgiveness deals with the removal forever in the mind of God. Everyone that accepts that sacrifice, they are forever forgiven of everything they have ever done. Without anything else going on, without doing, you know what it did? When he brought that blood into there, in my mind said, I forget. Could God remember? Oh, absolutely. God can do anything. But God has chosen to forget. In fact, look what Hebrews says. As the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, listen to this, I will remember their sins and lawless deeds no more. Everybody say amen, would you? Micah 7:19. Where there is forgiveness, I'm sorry, Mike, he will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast our sins into the depths of the sea. Go to the next one, Psalms. Isaiah. Behold, it was for my welfare that I had a great bitterness, but in love you have delivered my life from the pit of destruction, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. For he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. You know this, there is no such thing as an east pole and a west pole. There's a north pole, there's a south pole. You start going north, you'll hit the north pole. When you hit the north pole, you keep going. You start going down south, you hit the south pole. When you hit it, you start going back up. You're going back north. But when you go east, you just keep right on going east. You never stop. You keep going east. You're going east, 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 east. You never hit an east pole. When you turn around, you go west, you keep going west, west, west. Come on, somebody. He didn't say, I separated your sins as far as the north is from the south. He said, I separated as far as the east, come on, is from the west. That's eternal. Come on. You read in the Old Testament, every time he speaks of east, is always Adam and Eve. They were driven out of the garden. They were driven to the east. You can read all the different things about the east. It's when it's away from God. God took your sins and cast them behind his back. They are gone forever. You are cleansed. You have the forgiveness of sin. There is no more God's remembering your sins. No more. I will remember your sins no more. Every time you confess and you repent of your sins, he takes your sins and he throws them behind his back. And he will never pick them up again. Everybody say amen one more time. Okay, that's your past. What about your future? I mean, what about your present? What do you do about your present? How do you deal with your conscience? How do you deal with your conscience? I remember I used to do a ministry in Hammond. And I'll never forget there was one of the people there in the ministry was having a hard time. And they'd take baths and they would tell me that they would scrub themselves almost raw, trying to make themselves feel clean. And see, really, your conscience is what really bothers you. You know, what you've done, what you've thought, where you're going. And let me tell you, one of the things I do is this I do about my past. I don't listen any philosophies. I don't listen to any arguments. What I do, I listen to the blood of the Lord Jesus about my past. And I do the same thing about my present. What do I do? Look at this. John, look at 1 John. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood, watch this, the blood of Jesus, his son, say the next word, cleanses us from all sin. See, sin deals with the conscience. And the blood of Jesus can cleanse your conscience. Sin is conceived in the heart, and the blood, listen, not just covers the outward acts, but it goes into your heart. One of the things I live life by is doing this. I let the blood of Jesus speak to me on a day-to-day basis. When I sin, when I mess up, when everything happens, I go back, I confess it, and listen, and the blood of Jesus cleanses me. Look what Hebrews 9 says. That's how it says. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our what? Purify our what? That means I can lay my head down on the pillow and I can feel okay. I can feel clean. I can feel clean not on the outside, but I can feel clean on the inside. You know why? Because I listen to the voice of the blood more than the voice of the accuser, more than the voice of anybody else that's talking to me. I listen to the voice of the blood of the Lamb of God that says, you are clean now. I have cleansed you from the inside out. You've confessed your sin. You are therefore cleansed from the inside out. Look what Isaiah says. It says, come now, let us reach. Did I do Hebrews? Hebrews 4? Go back to Hebrews. Let me just watch this. You know the word right there says to God, purify our conscience. The word purify there literally means to literally cause it to be as if it never happened. To purify means to make it look like it had never happened. Purify it. Absolutely as if it had never happened. So if you've fallen, if you've done something, you thought, when you confess it to the Lord, the power of the blood is so powerful, it makes it as if you never did it. And your conscience then can be clean, because it can clean your conscience. It can cleanse you. You can cleanse your conscience. Nothing else can cleanse your conscience. You can take drugs, you can drink, you can try to drown the voice in your head, but the only thing that will stop it is the power of the blood of the Lamb of God. It will cleanse you. And so I listen to the voice of the blood. Look at Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord, though your sins be like scarlet. Any of you got any sins like scarlet? You know, scarlet was that, the reason he used that word in Hebrew was that was one of the stains they couldn't remove in the Old Testament. That was one of those stains, if you got it on a piece of cloth, it was over. You know, like today, there's some things, no matter what we got, you're just not going to get it out. Scarlet was one of them. And the writer of Isaiah, when he writes it, he says, though your sins be as what? Oh, nope, nothing else in this world can remove it. God said, I've got a cleansing agent that'll remove it. Look at this. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Not the sexually immoral, not idolaters, nor adulterers. Now don't move this verse, leave it right here. Nor men who practice homosexuality. All those things. Man, list all these. And some of you are looking at it. Well, I did some of that. I've done some of those things. But listen what Paul, look what the rest of my Paul writes. Nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers. None of those is going to inherit the kingdom of God. Now watch this. And such were some of you. We could take that label. We could take that and we could put that on some of you. And this is what Paul says. But you, you were washed. Not some little outside, you know, cleaning. You've been purified. Though yours was like crimson, it's become like white as wool. Though it was like scarlet, it's become like snow. Though it was stained within that you tried all kinds of stuff. You drank yourself half dumb to get rid of the pain. The blood of Jesus has literally been able to come in and it can do what nothing else can do. It can wash you whiter than snow. It's more powerful than any stain could ever happen to your life. He says, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of the living. Everybody say amen, would you? It cleanses you. You know, your body, your blood cleanses. You know, it brings oxygen throughout your body, but it also is a cleansing agent. Your blood picks up the stuff and it cleanses your body, goes through your life. It cleanses you. And that's what the power of the blood. So what I've learned to do is this. I listen to the voice of the blood of Jesus. I don't listen to what my heart tells me. I don't listen to what my head tells me. I don't listen to what my friend tells me. I don't listen to arguments of this world. I listen to the voice of the blood of Jesus. It says, I have been washed. I have been cleansed. I have been redeemed. I have been forgiven. I've been whiter. I am whiter than, come on, some. I am whiter than snow. All right, not only would it deal with my past. Listen, forgiveness deals with my past. Cleansing deals with my present. But then there's a future. I got a future I'm dealing with. You know what I do? I listen to the voice of the blood for my future as well, just as real as I listen to it for the voice of my past and my present. I listen to the voice about my future. Because there's no, I don't know about all of you. I don't have grace for dying right now because I don't think I'm going to die today. God forbid, but I don't think I'm going to die today. So I don't have grace today to die. It's like I told you when Billy Graham was in one of the big, in South Africa, in one of the big safari hunts. A lion jumped on top of their car. He said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but I just don't want to go right now. Come on, somebody. That's right. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go right now. If I took a hand, how many want to go to heaven right now, right now? Not because we don't have grace, but when it's our time, we'll have grace. And there will be that ability to do. And so what happens is what do you do with your future? And I'll do this. My future is justified, or just as if I'd never sinned. Watch this. Since therefore we have now been, everybody say justified. By his what? Blood. Now that we have been justified by, justification has to do with my future. Forgiveness deals with my past. Cleansing deals with my present. Justification deals with my future. It says to me, it's by the blood God has not only forgiven and cleansed me now, but he's cleansed me and forgiven me for eternity's sake. And so now I'm dead. So what happens in 1 John chapter 2, it says this. My little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. All right? We're not supposed to sin. You're not supposed to sin. But watch this. But. Everybody say but. Thank God for the buts in the Bible. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The word propitiation means to appease, to lawfully satisfy the righteous demands of justice. And that is, if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same blood that saved you at the beginning will cleanse you again and forgive you again and set you on the right path and justify you for all eternity. Come on, somebody say amen. So that's happening today. Now, when Jesus was, the night he was betrayed, he knew Judas was coming into the garden. He knew he only had moments left with those 12, 11 now, of course. And him knowing that all things had been accomplished and he was now about to be betrayed into the hands of sinners, he gathers that last night at what we call a Passover meal. And now think this through, because he knows now he is about to be taken away. He's told them, me, you only have with me a little bit longer. I go away. I go to a place you cannot come. You cannot follow now, but later you'll come. Now think this through. What are you going to do? What do you do? What do you do? What do you do in those last few moments? What are you going to tell him? And he does something unique. Because in the middle of Passover, he creates something that we call today the Lord's Supper. And think about it. Last few moments on earth with these guys. Impact. You know, some of you that have loved ones, your last few moments stick forever in your mind. And he's on his last few moments. And what he does is he institutes something that we're going to do this morning called the Lord's Supper. Which tells me it's more than just some little formality, some little formal thing you do, some little tack on, some little, you know, informal, doesn't mean much. No, he does. His last moments on earth with them, he's doing something called the Lord's. He instituted this thing called the Lord's Supper. He takes bread and wine and he gets it. Years live. Watch it. Let me tell you how important it is. Years later, when Saul of Tarsus is saved on the Damascus Road, he then goes in and begins to confront the Jews, and they're about to kill him, and he goes off to the Arabian desert for 3.5 years. When he's in the Arabian desert for 3.5 years, Jesus appears to him over and over, it appears, and taught him things, shared things with him that he didn't learn from man. He didn't receive these things from man. He got them from the Lord himself. And imagine Jesus now teaching the Apostle Paul. And one of the things that Jesus instructed Paul about was what happened that night, that last night he was with his disciples. And think about this, because Paul said, I didn't get this from John or Peter or James. I didn't get that from them. Jesus himself told me about that night. Jesus himself thought it was so important that I needed to tell you how to do it in your churches, because it has an impact on you personally. It changes. It'll do something. It's either for your good or it will hurt you. And notice what he says in Corinthians. For I received, watch, not from Peter, not Paul, I mean, not James, not John. I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup, and after supper, saying, the cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, then so eat the bread and drink the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judge ourselves truly, we would not be judged. For when we are judged by the Lord, we're disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. And you read that and you say, man, there's something beyond just this little formality that we do the Lord's Supper together. If you were to read the whole chapter, you would see what they're doing. They were bringing food in. They were having big feast, and they were calling that the Lord's Supper. They were getting drunk. It was just unbelievable. So when Paul comes in, he said, that's not the Lord's Supper. That's not the Lord's Supper. What are you doing? And if you had it in context, that's what he's talking about. Because you're doing this so in an unworthy manner. He said, you don't even know what you're doing. You're drinking what you're doing. Listen very carefully. What they did was, the reason they were ill and sick and many died prematurely was because, listen, they were literally not taking the benefit of what the Lord's Supper was created to do. Because the Lord's Supper was that time when we get together and we remember and pointedly the power of the blood of the Lamb of God. And when you don't understand it, when you're not receiving it, when you don't grasp it, when you don't get it, that literally you listen to the voice of the blood of the Lamb of God. What does it say? Healing. What does it say? Deliverance. What does it say? Forgiveness. What does it say? Justification. What does it say? Cleansing. Come on, somebody. And you listen to the power of the blood. And so this morning, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take advantage. This morning, we're going to take communion together. And I want you, it's not that you say, Pastor, am I supposed to not have any sin in my... No. See, sometimes when sin has been trying to get the best of me is when I take communion. You know what I do? Because I run to the blood. I say, I need you, Jesus. I need the blood to help me defeat this. I'm not doing it unworthy. You do it in an unworthy manner like they were doing, getting drunk and just acting like it was a meal and da, da, da. What you do it is, You run to the communion because it's where the power of God is, because you're concentrating on the power of the blood of the Lamb of God that cleanses, redeems, forgives, heals. Come on, somebody. Delivers you. It delivered a whole nation out of the bondage of Egypt. Man, if a blood of a regular lamb can do that, how much more the blood of Jesus Christ can deliver you from whatever is after your life? And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to see a deliver. We're going to see God deliver things in your life. What do you need delivered from? What do you need broken in your life? Come on, musicians, come on back up if you would. Men, it's going to help me put this out. We're going to pray over this. We're going to put it all the tables, and I want you to go take communion, hold the cup, hold the piece of bread until we all take it together. We're going to pray over it first. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we pray over this communion. We do it, Lord, in a worthy manner. Lord, we call upon the name of the Lord. We call upon the blood. We call upon the voice of the blood. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening this morning. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, would you speak to us? Would you send deliverance? Lord, we believe that your blood is more powerful than anything that's trying to attach itself to my life. Anything that's trying to stain me. Anything that has gotten in. Lord, it can defeat it and conquer it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the blood of the Lamb of God. And we choose this morning to believe the voice of the blood over every other voice on planet Earth in the name of the Lord Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen. Come on, guys. We're going to put this out. If you would, you can go ahead and get up and start making your way to a table. They'll have it out to a certain table to you in just a minute. While they're doing that, let's begin to sing this song again. I love this beginning phrase of this song. It says, I listened to a better word than the word of Abel's blood, a better word than all the vain philosophies. There's a lot of fluff on how do you deal with your conscience? How do you live a good life? How do you feel secure? How do you feel secure in God? How do you live this life knowing you're going to go to heaven? How do you deal with your past? How do you deal with your conscience right now? A lot of fluff out there trying it doesn't work. But I tell you what does work. It's the power of the blood of the Lord God. It's the power, the voice of the blood of the Lamb of God can cleanse you, forgive you, and justify you. All over. Come on, let's sing it together as we're doing this.
Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims I heard upon this earth. Speaks righteousness for me. Stands in my defense,
Jesus.
And Jesus, it's your blood,
Jesus. We're needy today, Lord.
Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty claims I've heard upon this earth. It speaks righteousness for me. It stands in my defense. Jesus, it's your blood. Oh, what can wash away our sin? What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Pure as snow, welcomed as the friends of God. Oh, nothing but the blood. Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, I can't wash away.
But your blood, oh, nothing but your blood, Jesus.
close your eyes. If you need a healing in your body, the Bible says the stripes that were laid on His body was for our healing. If you need God to heal, you need in your body, you need somewhere for the Lord to heal you. When you partake of this, that's why Paul said, you're not doing it right. You're not understanding it right. That's why many of you are ill and weak. And some of you are prematurely dying. Because you don't understand the power of what He did. And so Lord, this morning we just thank You. We thank You for every stripe that was laid on Your body was for our healing. Your body was broken, Lord, not Your bones, but Your body was broken. It was stabbed, it was cut, it was crowned with thorns and all that took place, Lord. You were beaten to where you didn't even look like a man. And so this morning, Lord, we thank You for taking our place. That's what should have been us. And so, Lord, we thank You. If You would do all of that, how much more will You heal our little bodies right now? That little thing that needs to be healed right now, You'll touch us. So I want you to put your hand on whatever it is right now, if it's appropriate. Just put your hand there and say, Lord, I need a healing. Lord, touch me right now. I thank You for the power of communion. We remember, Lord, Your death. And Your death broke the back of the devil. It broke the back of sin. It broke the back of sickness. It broke the back of illness. It broke the back of everything. So, Lord, in this time, we remember Your death. We remember what You did. And so, Lord, we claim it. We take part in it. We thank You for the power of Your stripes. In the name of the Lord, you break the piece of bread you've got and then partake. Now, some of you, you've really been dealing with maybe some big sin or mistake you made in the past. It's really eating you alive. You tried all kinds of things. You've tried, you know, partying to get rid of it. You tried drugs to get rid of it, drinking. You tried relationships to get rid of it. You tried everything. You've tried psychiatrists. You've taken prescription drugs. You just... No matter how dull you try to dull it, it's still there. So this morning I ask for the power of the blood of the Lamb of God to forgive you completely. And those of you that have a guilty conscience, it's really dealing with some guilty stuff. You've got a stain so dark that you've tried everything, but you just can't get rid of that stain. Lord, I thank You. I listen to the voice of the blood of the Lamb this morning. It says, I am cleansed, I am washed, I'm completely renewed, I'm white as snow. And I pray for everyone that has a fear about their future, what's going to happen, where they're going to go. I thank You, Lord, for the power of Your blood, justified me by Your blood. I ask You, Lord, that we remember Your death. We remember You spilling Your blood on the earth. We remember You taking it then and taking it before the Father. And the Father says, I forget. I will remember Your sins no more. And if God won't remember them, who are we to remember them? If God is forgiven, who am I not to forgive? If God is cleansed. So Lord, would You do what no man can do? Would You do what no philosophy can do? Lord, we look to You. We open our ears to the voice of Your blood this morning. In Jesus' name, everybody partake today. Now let's sing that song one more time with a new heart. Come on. Your
speaks a better word.
Come on.
And all the empty claims.
Oh, Jesus.
Speaks righteousness for me.
I believe, Lord, I believe.
Stand in my defense.
I believe.
Oh, Jesus, it's Your blood.
I believe.
Jesus. Oh, Jesus, it's Your blood.
Come on, lift your hands. Reach out in faith. Say,
what can wash away my sins? And what can
but the blood of Jesus.
Oh,
and what can wash us white as snow? Welcome that the friends of God.
It is nothing but the blood. Come on, sing it one more time. What can wash away? Come on, sing it again with your hands. What can wash away? Oh,
what can wash away my sins?
Oh,
what can make us whole again?
It is nothing but the blood. It is nothing but the blood of
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
And what can wash us pure as snow? Welcome as the friends of God. Sing nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood.
Come on, give a great clap offering today. Come on. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you. The Lord be gracious to you. And the Lord give you peace. And I pray the Lord Himself will come to you and reveal the power of His blood. I pray that the power of the blood would become so real in your lives that it would take care of your past, your present, and your future. That it would bring deliverance just as real as Israel. I pray deliverance over your life. I pray all the gloom and the depression and all that stuff would be broken by the power of the blood of Jesus. And that a new day would dawn and there would be brightness and shining light. And that your future would become bright in your own eyes. And you would become, your dull eyes would become bright shining one more time. That you would begin to be excited about not only today but tomorrow. And that you would live a life full of the faith and the power. And that the voice of the blood of the Lamb of God would drown out every other voice coming into your head. Every accusation, everything is said. I bless you in the name of the Lord. Everybody said amen. Give one more good clap offering in Jesus' name. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.